Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution, made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Our upcoming wealth webinar is called Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. And if your concern has led to a stalled retirement plan, Steve and Justin will share their insights and help you feel confident again about your prospects. This webinar has a new date, April 14th, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time. It's free, but attendance is limited, so sign up soon. Just go to investtalk.com, that's InvestTalk with two T's, and click on the InvestTalk tab. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, April 4th edition of InvestTalk. I'd like to welcome all of you here on this glorious Monday. I hope everyone had a great weekend, and we started the week off on a kind of a negative note for the market, but you know, we're going to get into that a little bit more on, you know, where is the market? It's come back a lot, and I think a lot of people are getting excited about what the market has done, but I think I would caution a lot of people to not get overly excited about this rally, because I think the risk in the market still remains very, very high. And what I'm seeing is a lot of short covering. And that's really what I think this rally is, a big short covering rally. So I hope you guys enjoy this hour. This hour is for you. This hour is to give you some perspective on the markets, on the economy, on your overall financial picture. We are here as a sounding board. We want to hear what you have to say on InvestTalk. That is our goal each and every weekday, is to make sure that you are on the right path. You're not confused by anything that's going on, and it can be confusing out there. It can be confusing to understand where the market's going, where the economy's going, how much risk you should be taking, you know, with the Fed, what the Fed's doing, what central banks are doing around the world, are very confusing, I think, to the average person. So, do you have a question about that? Do you have a question about real estate? Do you have a question about stocks, individual stocks, sectors, the economy as a whole? We want to be here, be there for you. 888-99 chart is the number to tune to call and ask your question, and we will do our best to get to each and every one on the show today. And you know, I love this. I love doing this. So don't be afraid to bring in basic questions, complicated questions, whatever it is. I've never had a question that was too complex for me. Maybe too complex to answer in a short period of time, but I always get to it after hours as well. So this is our 1 hour forum about managing your money. And you know, in addition to sharing the rules of the road, which I know can be confusing, we're trying to give you some perspective and broaden your view. You know, so many people get stuck with this singular myopic view of one stock or one sector or one thing. And they have trouble keeping their wits about them and navigating all the different aspects of the financial world. You know, and as you saw, two doors in the big retirement building ahead of you are being prepared and not prepared. So which door are you going to walk through? And our goal is to help you walk through that prepared door, put you on that right path, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, whether you're approaching retirement, maybe in your 50s and 60s, it doesn't matter. We are here to help you. Now, odds are, if you're an average 60-year-old with a 401k plan, you can safely guess that you don't have enough saved for retirement, most likely. Not everybody, there's certain people that have done a great job in saving a lot, but a recent study by the Employee Benefit Research Institute and the Investment Company Institute says 401k participants in their 60s had an average account balance of only of $144,000 at the end of 2009. Now, obviously, it's probably come back a little bit, but even if they wrote up the market double, which they probably didn't because they probably only recently got back in because they most 401k investors, most investors generally, chase returns. So let's say they're at 300,000. That's still not nearly enough to really have 30 years of withdrawals from that account to sustain themselves the rest of their life. And workers in the 60s who have been participating in the same 401k plan for more than 30 years have an average of $197,000 in their plan. So sticking with the same company always helps as well. Now, if you're in your 60s and all you've saved up is a couple hundred thousand in your 401k plan, it's time to start socking away a lot more. And I'm sure that's no surprise to anyone. So if you're in your 60s, you find yourself coming up short, what can you do? Now, one thing is to check your asset allocation. Workers in the 60s had a much more conservative asset allocation than the average participant. So give that a second look. Maybe that is right for you, especially in this environment. But in tough environments, that's usually when you want to get more aggressive, meaning in a bear market, that's when you want to get more aggressive. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but that's the best time to find bargains. So what is your mix of stocks, bonds, cash, etc.? You may be smart by delaying your retirement. That's one goal I think a lot of people are going to have to turn to. And workers in the 60s had much more what they can do to boost their retirement security is putting off retirement by a few more years. Just by delaying it 2 years, that 2 years can make a big difference in your retirement picture, in your retirement map, which is something we lay out for clients as well. Now, another strategy is delaying taking Social Security. We always recommend you try to push that off at least until 67, full retirement age, and really until you're 70, to be frank, if you can. So letting it ride a little longer will mean higher permanent Social Security benefits when you finally begin your payments. Now, a married couple could have the higher wage earner spouse delay taking Social Security benefits until 70, and the added income could mean higher payments when you finally decide to take them. So there's a couple different strategies. Try to push that off a little bit or push your get your retirement map in a better situation. And I know that can be difficult to think about, but it's something everybody must consider, probably will consider at some point. Now, do you have a question about retirement distributions? We're here to try to deliver some answers to you and your any money issues you might have. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number for any money-related questions. So let's take a question right now.
Hi, my name is Danielle from Detroit, Michigan. My question was regarding options. I'm new to it. I'm getting into spreads. I just want to know your advice or any beginning points that you wanted to give me that would be great. With Options Express, I went to Optionetics School. So I'm new. Any pointers, I would love it. I listen to the show every day. Thank you. Have a great day.
She's getting into options trading. Notoriously, options trading is very difficult. It is something that takes a lot of discipline. It's complex. It's very you have to understand delay or decay, time decay, the value of those options. You have to understand earnings announcements, implied volatility. It's very complex. So don't take it lightly. The first thing I would say is keep your position size small. Don't think you know it all. Don't think that you are going to hit a home run every time. Singles and doubles are a good way to look at it. You don't think you want to make 200, 300% on one option. That can happen, but that's very rare. Understand that 85% of options that are written go expired. They expire worthless. Sorry, they all go expired, but they expire worthless. They when expiration comes, they're worth nothing. So that's 85%. Only 15% expire what we call in the money. So when you're buying options, be very careful. Go out longer. Don't think that you're going to try to save a couple pennies by trying to go a couple weeks shorter, a couple months shorter, whatever it is. the longer you give yourself to profit in an option, the more likelihood you will make a profit. If you try to limit yourself to a week, a few weeks, month or so, the odds are you are not going to make the best decision. You're probably going to lose money, and that's going to expire worthless. So realize that and stay disciplined. Practice, test your theories, test your strategies, and then you can start increasing the size of your trades. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, and this is Invest Talk, made possible by our firm, KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor. And I have more about that coming up on the show. Now, one of the services we provide free of charge to our listeners is a retirement review. Now, because these are individual meetings, Steve can't do many of these, but he invites you to take advantage of them. He will be doing Skype calls and he will be doing webinars, Skype calls and phone calls on the 19th, and we'll be in San Ramon on the 20th of this month. So to get on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. That's how you get through and ask your question on this hour of Invest Talk. And I have some very interesting topics for the show. The first one, our main talking point, is about the question is, would you take your family to a restaurant where the chef doesn't eat its own cooking? Does your financial advisor have skin in the game? And this is sparked by an article actually written by Tony Robbins. I think most people know who Tony Robbins is. He's a motivational speaker. So he wrote a really amazing article, and it really sums up, you know, our feelings towards the financial advisory space. And I'm going to touch on what his points are in the article. It's an article that was written for what magazine was this? I'm trying to see what it was. Was it Inc.? Entrepreneur magazine. And it's a great article. You can see a link to it on investtalk.com, but I'm going to get to that upcoming on the show. And then, how many funds do you need for diversification? How do you make sure your portfolio is diversified enough? Is two funds good enough? Or do you need 30 funds? What makes sense? So I'm going to talk about how to think about that. And then the 80% retirement rule. Is this valid for clients in retirement? The average recommendation for an advisor would be that you are about probably going to spend 80% of your pre-retirement expenses in retirement. So if your monthly expenses are $5,000 a month, well, on average, once you retire, it'll go down to about $4,000 a month. But there are some caveats to that, and everyone's a little bit different. So I'm going to touch on some statistics that came out from the Employee Benefit Research Institute that I think will hopefully shed some light on that and give you kind of a sense of what that might mean for you. Then I want to lastly get to Costco switching from Amex to Visa, and it's kind of a win for customers, and I'm going to show why. I know me. This is a card I use. My go-to card is my Costco Amex card because of all the rewards, and it's getting even better. So this is something maybe you should turn to. I don't make anything off this, but or by talking about it, but I do get a nice little rebate check at the end of the year, and it's going to get even better, and I think this could be a good way for everybody to maybe get a nice little bonus check at the end of each year. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But ultimately, I want to hear from you. What is on your mind? We want to hear whatever money topics you're thinking about for today. We're up to discuss them, and we want to make sure that you have the right information and have the right perspective, most of all. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. This is Invest Talk. What money topic is on your mind? We have about 40 minutes left in the show, but it goes quick. There are many retirement annuity-like programs that are out there. They sound very attractive. Should that be where you go? What makes sense for you? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
This is Jonathan, located in Jacksonville, Florida. Just had a question about platinum group metals ticker is PLG. Just wanted to see how you felt about it.
Platinum Group Metals. This is a company that's had a big run ever since the turnaround in the precious metal space. The symbol is PLG, and they just as you expect, they are a industrial miner that mines for platinum. And this is a company that doesn't make money. They're not doing so hot. But they have had a great run. The stock has moved from around a dollar a share beginning of the year, late January, to now $3.63. So he's looking at this big run. It's up 260% since that since the January lows. And I think anybody would love to catch that. The problem is that it's a speculative name. Is it going to do better if precious metal prices do better? Yes. Is it high risk? 1,000%. 1,000%. What I want to look at is their debt. Let's look at their debt ratio, because that's the most important. When you see these stocks that are trading on $1, $2, $3 a share, they're trading there likely for a reason. And usually that reason is they have a lot of debt. And they're in a decent, there's a decent chance that they'll go bankrupt, okay? So if you're going to invest in these names, you need to have pretty good confidence that they are going to not go bankrupt, okay? Now, their financial leverage doesn't look too crazy. It's only about 1.39. That's not out of the realm of insanity. So I wouldn't be too worried about it. Their book value is $4.83. That's pretty decent. My problem is they just don't make money. And even when commodity prices were high back in 2010, 2011, precious metal prices were high, they still had negative free cash flow. Their net income was only positive 1 year, 2010. It was negative in 2011. So from a long-term perspective, they just don't create much value for their shareholders. Now, if platinum turns around, sure, great, it'll do well. But this is extremely high risk. It's kind of a very leveraged play on the precious metal space. So if you think precious metals are going to take off, which I actually think they will, this will be a very fast mover. But it's also going to be very high risk. And if maybe precious metals don't move as much as we think, or maybe doesn't translate to earnings fast enough for whatever reason, then this stock will languish. So understand it's very high risk, but it is going to be very volatile when it comes to precious metals. And if precious metals take off, it should do pretty well. That was PLG is the symbol. Palladium, was it palladium? What's it called? Platinum Group Metals is the symbol, or is the name. Now, our main talking point today is about China. If you go to a restaurant, would you go to a restaurant and eat the food that the chef wouldn't eat themselves? And I think everybody would probably say no. And this topic is sparked by an article written in Entrepreneur Magazine by Tony Robbins. And he did a lot of research on the financial industry. He saw what happened during the financial crisis, and he was kind of ticked off, to be frank. And so what he did was he looked at some studies, and in a sobering 2009 study by Morningstar, he cites that they tracked over 4,300 actively managed mutual funds, and only 49% of them 49% of them own no shares of the fund they managed at all. 51% did. But some of them were kind of token amounts. 2,126 of the 4,300 own no shares. So that's the 49%. And then 159 owned $1 to $10,000 in the fund. 393 managers invested $10 to $50,000 in the fund, which seems like a lot, but in relation to how much these people are making, that's not a lot. only 413 of the 4,300 actively managed funds, only 413 of the managers invested more than $1 million. Okay, and remember, these are funds that generally the managers are making at least close to $1 million. Many of them are making over $1 million. So it stands to reason that if you believe in what you're doing, you would put some skin in the game. Okay, so that's the basis of what Tony Robbins is talking about, and I completely agree with him, and that's exactly why us at KPP manage our clients' accounts the same way we manage our own money. We call it parallel investing. Okay, so he asks if a manager of the fund isn't willing to put their own money at risk, then why in the world would you? Okay, so I'm going to get to some more of his points, and I think it's very apropos for the environment that we're in, and it's important to understand the industry as a whole if you are going to take part in it. Whether doing it on your own, having an advisor, whatever it is, you need to understand what you're dealing with. Okay? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us on InvestTalk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. A reminder that Steve will be in San Jose this week, April 6th. That's this Wednesday, for a limited number of individual retirement reviews with our listeners. It's an hour well spent. Again, it's this Wednesday, April 6th, in San Jose. And on the 19th, he'll be meeting on Skype and telephone with listeners all over the country. To get on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. We continue with this Monday, April 4th, Invest Talk. Our webinar is called Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. And in this one-hour webinar, you'll learn planning strategies that retirees and pre-retirees can use to minimize the negative impact of volatile markets on your retirement income plan. And even find some opportunities you may have missed. It's set for April 14th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Register now on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You have about 25 minutes left in the show to get your call in, but it will go fast. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How are you doing, Mike?
Hey, how are you doing, Justin? I always get perplexed about that number, like you were talking about, like 80% of your mm-hmm. you know, current income or whatever. Because the whole thing is like right now I'm contributing quite a bit to my 401k,
yep,
all those type of things. Like, so am I supposed to subtract all those first before I do the 80%?
Well, that's actually one thing they say in the study, is that the average person will stop, right? You're going to stop putting money into your 401k, your IRA. So that automatically reduces your monthly expenses right there. And many times that's 10-15% of your expenses. And then it comes down to commuting costs drop because you're not commuting to work. Clothing costs tend to drop because you're not buying new work clothes.
Right.
You're not dry cleaning any nice clothes that you might have to wear for work or whatever that is. So that's the initial drop. But sometimes it can be turn around and go up if you travel. You feel like traveling and you do that immediately. It can depend on each person. It usually depends on each person or each couple.
So it really depends on how much your projected expense is going to be.
Exactly.
Basically what it's based off of.
Yeah, because everybody's different. Okay. You know, we always tell clients, ask clients, are you going to sit at home and play with the grandkids? Or are you going to travel the world? Or are you going to do some philanthropic work? You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to work part-time? Some people get bored. Many people get bored in retirement. I think that's I know Steve will tell you that. He retired in his 40s and he got bored, you know, and that's why he ended up doing this, and he loves doing this. And That's something I think a lot of people are going to face, and they probably a lot of people don't realize is once you get to retirement and you're suddenly the first month goes by and you know it's nice not to have the stresses of work, but it can be you know okay what am I going to do now type of thing, and whatever right. that is can cost a little or it can cost a lot. So each individual person is different.
Right, right, absolutely. That was all. I just wanted to clarify that a little bit.
Okay.
In my mind.
All right, Mike. Well, I'm going to get to that topic a little bit later, so maybe I'll have some sure. more tidbits for you there. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
All right.
Now I want to get back to the Tony Robbins article from Entrepreneur Magazine, and he talks about how fund managers tend to, about half, do not invest in their own fund. And he says, you know, if they're not willing to invest in their own fund, why in the world would you? But then he asks, are their interests really aligned with your interests? That's really important. And he uses the analogy of climbing a mountain, right? And that's really what retirement is. You're climbing that retirement mountain, that investing mountain. And it can be daunting. It can be confusing. Which path to take can be hard. So you probably want a guide, right? And he says, how would you feel if your guide was more concerned about his own survival than yours, right? Better yet, how would you feel if he said, you take this one path, but I'm going to go take another path? How would you feel? Okay. So what he says is go with an independent what he calls a registered investment advisor, a fiduciary like us. Because what he says is that most brokers are designated by the suitability standard, or they're governed by the suitability standard, meaning that as long as it's suitable for you, they're okay to sell it to you, no matter how much kickbacks or commissions they get. And he asks, would you fly an airline that was just suitable? Or go to a restaurant that was just suitable? Wouldn't you want to go to the restaurant that's best for you, or the airline with the best safety record? Is suitable work good? It's okay, but is it really the best for you? And what he says is you should go with a fiduciary, and that's a registered investment advisor like us, and an independent one as well. And the reason is he says, and it's true, that professionals like the professionals that are fiduciaries must put their interest above your own. For example, and he uses the example of IBM. So say I bought IBM for my account today, and I bought it for a client's account today, and I got a better price than my client. Okay, I paid $112.25. My client paid $112.50. I, by law, would have to give him my shares at the lower price because I have to put my interest ahead of, or sorry, my client's interest ahead of my own. Okay, so he said this. This is all you can go to. You can go to entrepreneur.com. It's called "Don't Take Your Family to a Restaurant Where the Chef Won't Eat His Own Cooking." That's the title of the article. You can see it on investtalk.com. It's a great article. And what he even says, which is a great point, is that the fee that you pay a fiduciary like us is actually tax deductible. So if you're paying, say, 1%, which many of our clients pay, it's tax deductible. If you're a high tax bracket, that could be 0.5%, effectively. So read the article. It's very interesting. It makes a lot of great points. It's what we've been saying for a long, long time. It's by Tony Robbins. Go to investtalk.com. Click on it. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm good. Thank you, Justin.
No problem.
Wanted to see your view on whole food market. What do you think about it?
About what market?
Whole food.
Sorry, say that one more time. I couldn't hear you. BJ, you there? I couldn't hear what you said. What did you say?
Whole Food Market, WFM. Oh,
there we go. I like symbols. Symbols are always easy. Whole Food Market. We own this for our managed accounts. in one of our managed accounts. I like Whole Foods. It's certainly come down a lot, but that means it's a good value. And we purchased it. We're kind of pretty much right around where it's at now. It's at $30.34. So it's kind of been bumping along this area for the better part of 9 months or so. And we think it's trying to find a bottom here. Now, they are getting more competition from traditional grocers as well. But I like Whole Foods. I understand my generation. I understand the trend towards better eating, meaning more organic foods, healthier foods, and healthier products in general. I know my body wash I use is all completely organic and doesn't use any crazy chemicals or anything like that. And I like that. I know my whole people in my generation like that. And that's only going to grow. So certainly they had taken it on the chin because I think the hype, it was just overhyped. It's one of those growth stocks that got overhyped. And that happens very often. But now it's gone down from $65 a share to $30. I think it's right-sized, the valuation. I think it's actually undervalued by a decent amount. And so we like Whole Foods Market.
So you think it is undervalued, as a result it will go up, or is there a consumer behavior that will propel this stock forward?
I think both. I think that it is undervalued. I wouldn't say it's crazy undervalued, but I think it is undervalued. And I do think that the trends are working in Whole Foods' favor. And I think they still have some more growth to go. I think that they're not, they haven't saturated the American market. They can certainly go overseas. They're planning to launch a competitor to Trader Joe's, which is a pretty popular chain here in California. And I think they can do a lot with it. Their 365 brand is very good. And I know I'd use a lot of those products. And I think they can leverage that brand over the long term. Is it going to turn around tomorrow? I'm not sure, but it pays a little bit of a dividend and it's undervalued. So from a medium to long-term perspective, I really like Whole Foods.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, BJ. That was Whole Foods Market. WFM is the symbol. Now remember, if you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during our live program, 4 to 5 Pacific time, we are here for you, beginner or experienced investor, at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve, and hello, Justin. This is Raphael from Jersey. I want to get your opinion on a stock that I think is wonderful. It is O'Reilly Automotive, O-R-L-Y. It is a long-term hold such that I will be holding it for the next 20 to 30 years and eventually passing it on to my kids. It seems to be best of breed along with AutoZone. It doesn't even have a situation where it's a recessionary stock because at times like that, people drive their older cars longer and prevent buying more vehicles. So just wanted to get your take on what you thought of that. And myself, I think it's wonderful. All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. He's looking at O'Reilly Automotive. The symbol is O-R-L-Y. They operate 4,571 automotive parts stores in 44 states. And they plan to open 210 more this year. It's about a 5% increase. So they obviously think that they have some room to run when it comes to market saturation. And they've grown they've been a strong earnings grower. 2009, they made $2.23. This year, they're supposed to make $10.64. That's up 17% from last year. And they're supposed to make $12.03 a share next year, and up 13%. Percent. No dividend, modest amount of debt, which is pretty good. Their revenue growth is in about the 10% range. Earnings growth is at the 25% range. So it's a very strong earnings grower. And the P ratio right now is 30, which is a little high for my liking. But he's looking at it extremely long term. And so what I go to immediately when I'm talking about long term, saying he's going to hold it through recessions, he's going to sock it away in the drawer, he's going to forget about it. First thing I'm going to say is, okay, what is the return on equity, return on investment capital over the long term? And right now, return on equity is 46%. That's extremely high, extremely good, very, very nice return on equity. Return on investment capital, 28%, also fantastic. Now, it's been going up recently. Are they going to be able to sustain that through a recession? Back during the recession 2008, that actually fell. The return on invested capital fell from 13% in 06 to 8% in 08. So, you know, have they made the adjustments and permanently changed their capital structure to where they can produce that type of profit on a consistent basis and the return on investment capital on a consistent basis? I'm going to say probably not. It's probably going to decline in a recession. But even if it declines by half to 14%, that's still very, very good. So I like what he's looking at there. And then he's saying, I'm going to hold it for 20, 30 years, give it to his children. Then I want to say, what's the industry? Well, they're selling automotive parts. How sustainable is that? Well, it certainly is sustainable in the next 5, 10, 15 years, because I don't think cars are going anywhere. Even if we move to electric cars, you're going to need tires. But then the question is, are you going to need oil filters? Do you need all the other things that O'Reilly Automotive sells? And the question is, and the answer is probably not. So that is certainly a worry about their industry, that if we move to electric cars, if the Model 3 from Tesla really takes off, and you look at regulation around emission standards are continuing to push automakers to make more fuel-efficient cars, and I think that's certainly a risk to O'Reilly Automotive. So I think it's overvalued now. I think it's a great company to have in your watch list. I wouldn't buy it today, and I also wouldn't put away for 20, 30 years, because the automotive industry could certainly change within that time frame. So I like it's on your watch list, but I don't love it for your strategy. Okay. Now, where are we going to now? All right, insert. Okay, just for about everyone, your home is an important piece of your retirement planning puzzle. So why not get a real estate review from me? Help you make that important decision. Now, I have a team of realtors, professional realtors that I work with across the country, and we have a planning day set up, and it's going to be on April 11th. That's a week from today, and we're going to have real estate reviews for a limited number of our listeners. So if you're interested and you want to just talk about your real estate situation, maybe you're thinking about buying something, maybe you're thinking about selling, maybe you're thinking about downsizing, you're getting into retirement, you want to downsize and right-size your real estate holdings. That's something we help a lot of clients with as well. Maybe you're looking to move up. You're growing out of your current home, whatever it is. Maybe you're looking to invest in real estate. We've helped people do that as well. It's multifaceted. You could have a lot of topics in relation to real estate. So if you are interested, go to investtalk.com, click on the Contact Justin button, and just write in real estate review. I'll email you back. We'll set up a time on April 11th, and we'll make sure you get you on the calendar and give you some perspective on your real estate needs. So 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now on InvestTalk. Now, you guys asked a lot of questions over the weekend, and you left them on our 24-hour listener line. So let's answer some of those questions now before we close the show.
Hello, this is Corey of Louisiana. My question is, I'm very interested in what your opinion is on the telecommunications industry for at least this year and maybe the next few years. I manage a few portfolios, and I'm just curious as to where you think it's headed. Obviously, it's risky, you know, but I see high potential in it based off the financial situation of our country, where it is, and thank you.
All right, he's looking at the telecommunication industry, and it's done really well for the year. You know, you think of the likes of AT&T and Verizon. They've been one of the best performers on the year. The telecommunication industry is very diverse, so I think that's a very broad question. There's going to be winners. There's going to be losers. T-Mobile has done fairly well, taking market share from the likes of Sprint, and Sprint's not doing so hot. So the question is, when it comes to telecom, hey, it's really about the type of company. Some telecom companies are going to be great, some not so great. So don't think that this is a one-size-fits-all. Telecom's great, and all the companies in it are going to be great. It's a very diverse industry. You're talking about fixed-line players, wireless players, internet players, all types of different telecom companies. So don't think that you can paint the whole industry with the same brush. Let's go to our next caller. He wants to talk about TWER.
Hello, this is Lionel from Louisiana. I have a question about a specific stock for a non-risk-averse investor. The stock is TowerStream Corp. TWER trades under the NASDAQ. It's a very cheap price, but I think it has some potential, maybe even a buyout potential in the future. Just curious as to your opinions of does it really have the potential that maybe board members give it? And is there a timeline? Thank you.
All right, he's looking at TowerStream Corporation, TWER, and they talking about telecom. They provide fixed wireless broadband internet access services to business customers in 20 metropolitan U.S. areas. Trading at 19 cents a share, it's up 4 cents today. That's obviously a 26% jump on the day. He said he's non-risk averse, and this is definitely a non-risk averse name. One thing I don't like is he said, it's cheap. Just because something's trading at 19 cents a share does not mean it's cheap. Most stocks trading at 19 cents a share are more expensive than those trading at $190 a share. Let me repeat that. Most stocks trading at 19 cents a share are more expensive than those trading at $190 a share. If you don't understand that, you need to do more research and understand how the market works. Okay, so the reason why it's trading at 19 cents a share is because it's on the verge of bankruptcy. They have a massive amount of debt. They're burning cash, and they're not profitable, and they haven't been profitable for the past 10 years. So, and they just continue to pile up more and more debt. It's a complex company. Could there be some complicated buyout by board members or whatever? Sure. But that's something I think that's beyond my scope of understanding about this tiny little company with a $12 million market cap. Let's go to our next caller who asks about XLE.
Hi, this is Kara from Virginia. Recently, I've heard you mention oil companies and not the commodity as a solid investment. Do you believe the dividends in BP and Shell are safe or will be cut like ConocoPhillips? And would XLE be the best way to play the dividend angle and the resurgence in oil? Thank you so much.
All right. That's a broad question. She's looking at BP. And BP pays, she's looking at BP and Shell. These are companies that do have a good amount of debt. They have a high dividend. BP's dividend is 8%. I'm not sure what Shell's is, but I know BP has a lot of debt, and I would say no, it's probably not sustainable. If you're looking to play the oil industry in general, you don't have a lot of expertise, you want a decent dividend, XLE is not a bad way to go. It's a good way to get diversity. But I do think oil stocks are only a medium-term play. Talking year, 2, 3 years. I think 10 years, there's a lot of issues with global warming and the move to electric cars, etc., that could throw a giant wrench in the oil industry. So don't think this is a very long-term play for oil. Now our time is up. It's been a quick hour. I hope it was worth your time. I'm Justin Klein, Executive Vice President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. For Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. Let's meet up on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.